Turn, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel. Reading at verse 16. Then said he, the Lord Jesus, unto him a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden my supper. That last verse very solemnly says there is no second chance. Turn please to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure you are struck in the reading of both of these passages tonight with the result of refusing an invitation to a feast. It hardly really reaches our mind, I'm afraid, to realize that the Lord Jesus is impressing upon us a tremendous solemnity that is linked with the gospel. Mr. Hall closed his remarks tonight with looking a little at that solemnity. I would like to look at these two readings. They are not speaking, it is not the same story told in two different ways. The Lord Jesus is speaking about two different suffers. But I would like you to notice the similarities that are found in them tonight in regard to the message of the cross work of Christ. As God has found a means through that work, the awful sufferings of Christ, physically and spiritually, when He, the Holy Son of God, was made sin for us. My friend, we could spend a whole week on that one statement, and we would really do well to do so, that He was made sin for us. That's a tremendous provision. The first satisfaction out of the sufferings and the voluntary death of the Lord Jesus was for God. He's the first one who must be satisfied. And my friend, tonight, that's the reason that in reading these two passages, we find in both of them an invitation is sent out to people. The provider of the feast is satisfied. And friend, as the God of heaven, in all the infinite greatness of His holiness, He is uncompromising in His holiness. And that's enough to cause you some very solemn thinking in me. Holiness pervades all God's thoughts and all that God's judgments and all His teachings are pervaded with holiness. There's no room for therefore, friend, the reality of the truth that you've been listening to tonight was not only an option that God had, it was a total necessity if He was to be satisfied about your sin and mine. And one of the great results, as I want to note in these two feasts that we have read of tonight, is the satisfaction of the provider of the feast. Oh, I thank God tonight that He's satisfied with what the Lord Jesus accomplished when He shed His life's blood, poured out His life on behalf of sinners. He gives us His word and He tells us, as we sang in that second hymn tonight, concerning the precious blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God is satisfied as the sin question. You know, my friend, that ought to be good news for mankind. But the sad part of it is, as we have read in these two passages, immediately man begins to make excuses. Now, I would like you to notice in these two readings tonight three titles that are given to the gospel. That is, the good news of God that He has for man because of His satisfaction in the work of the Lord Jesus, when He suffered, when He poured out His life, when He died. He entered into death, friend. The Lord Jesus did not die because He could not live any longer. The Lord Jesus did not die because of the weakness of crucifixion. The other men had not yet died. He chose to die. He entered into death for a purpose. He's greater than death. It did not overtake Him. He overtook it. And His only relationship with death was that He might break its power. It could not break Him. That's why, my friend, God is satisfied about the sin question, your sins and my sins against Him. And that great barrier of my sins that stands between me and God's heaven. God has found a satisfaction for it. I tell you, that does make a heart glad to know that God is satisfied with the Lord Jesus. There is no reason that I should not be. The first thing that I want you to notice in these two passages that we have read tonight, the first title that's mentioned we read in chapter 14 of Luke, it links itself with what you have already heard. It is a great supper. And I would like to just add to what has been given to you already tonight. It is not a detraction from it. It only underlines it. We cannot explain the greatness of salvation. We cannot truly expound the greatness of this supper But my friend, God isn't asking you to understand its greatness. He wants you to taste it. He wants you to come in response to his invitation on the basis of the preparation that is made for sinners. The precious blood of Christ is a preparation for the cleansing of the sinner. That's precious, friend. Very, very precious. The precious blood of Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 was shed for the putting away of sin from before the face of God. That's precious. And that's what's ready. That's what's prepared. That's what's available. God says, I'm making it available. I'm happy. I'm pleased. I'm going to make it a celebration. It's a great supper because of what is provided. I'd like to tell you, friend, if you could lay your head upon your pillow tonight and say, I have God's word for it. All my sins are righteously, eternally, and freely forgiven. I tell you, you would be able to say, Amen. That's a great supper. The peace, the reality of forgiveness, and the burden lifted from the conscience. What a feast. Ah, friend, tonight, God, on the basis of Calvary, finding full satisfaction for his holiness and meeting every need of helpless, dying, willful sinners that you and I are in his holy sight. He's coming out to us tonight, friend. He's coming out. He's been doing this since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, since the Lord Jesus died and was raised from death and then ascended into heaven. There came that day when God opened the door to the world because of the fullness of the work of Calvary. God is so satisfied with it. He's coming out to the poor sinner that caused it. And he's coming out to you, the reason for Calvary, your sins. Coming out to me, the reason for the sufferings of Christ on the cross. He comes out to me and he says, come. Come, all that I have found satisfaction in, I'm offering to you. Come, for all things are now ready. A great supper. Again, it's called a marriage supper. That is, God is going to link those that come with his Son forever and ever. Going to link them with him, just like a bride with a bridegroom. My friend, tonight, I would like to ask you, would you like to be a part of that great reality of being linked with the Lord Jesus forever and ever? Or would you choose to never have a link with Christ and to die without Christ? God says in his word, chapter 2 of Ephesians in verse 12, without Christ, no hope. And without God in the world. People can have a Bible in the world. People can pray in the world. People can give money to missionaries in the world. People can have a Sunday school class in the world. People can be baptized in the world and never be linked with Christ, because they're offering God their baptism. They're trying to satisfy God with their Sunday school work. And my friend, God is coming to you and to me tonight and trying to tell you, I'm already satisfied. Just come as you are, as a sinner, with all the way that you've been deceived and all the dissatisfaction and the emptiness of your heart and all that you're trying to do. Come just as you are. All things are now ready. A marriage for his Son. And furthermore, he calls it in that second passage where we read, a very formal dinner. He supplies and requires a proper coat for this dinner. Isn't it wonderful, friend, to notice that God is saying that he gives it freely? What you require to stand in God's presence with acceptance, he provides.
Besides satisfying you, he satisfies himself about you. That's a great salvation that you've been hearing of. Indeed it is, friend. God satisfied with me because of what he gives me to wear. And God satisfying me with all the blessing of deliverance from judgment, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, heaven for eternity. Friend, tonight God's making it available to you, all that blessing, to give you a fitness to stand before his holy eye and be accepted, and to give to you a satisfaction that I guarantee from years of experience satisfies the heart. And I can truthfully say I don't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. The more that I know about my Savior, and the more that I know about the God that gave him for me, the more I want to know, the more I love him. Can't help it, friend. He satisfies me, and he has satisfied himself in giving me that which will suit me for his presence. Now, my friend, tonight, as you noted from our passage, unless you personally receive that fitness from God, and unless you personally take your place at the table, you will never be accepted with God. You can't come in your own coat. You cannot come with your little story. You will have to say when you stand face to face with God, like this man, he was speechless. He knew better. He had heard different. And he refused the message. He decided to take it in his own teeth. He's in hell tonight. There are three titles to this supper. The Great Supper, a marriage supper, a formal dinner, and my friend, don't you forget it, it's God that's offering it to you tonight. Come. Both passages we read that word, come. Could you tell me any simpler terms for you and I, friend? If God asked you and I to crawl to China, of course we couldn't do it, but if he asked you to do it, I wouldn't be surprised you'd buy good pads for your knees and good solid shoes and probably some good heavy mitts and give it a try now, wouldn't you? I know I would. We would encourage one another. There'd be all kind of businesses going on, selling the very best thing to make it comfortable for you to do it. But God is not asking that of you, friend, for that doesn't settle the sin question. That doesn't satisfy him. But he wants you to sit for a moment and listen to him. And he lifts your eye and turns you back to Calvary. And he turns you to this very verse that's over my head tonight. There's the answer of it, friend. God is not asking you to do anything, but come just as you are. He makes all the changes. He gives you the coat of acceptance in his presence. He gives you a place at the table, and he has spread all that your guilty soul requires to be in heaven and never be in hell. He supplies it all as a free gift. He says, but come. Simplest terms, just as you are, right where you are. You need not raise a hand tonight. God is not looking at the tear upon your face. He's looking at the response of your heart to the provision of Calvary that has satisfied him. He's offering to you. The mighty price of sin has been paid. The great door of opportunity has been opened. Come, come. Your old Mr. Shivers, whom we used to have back in Ontario, he used to use this word often speaking to the children, and he always said, C-O-M-E, children, old people, middle-aged, everybody. That's who it means, friend. Come, children, tonight. Older people, all you middle-aged people, everybody, no distinctions, come to the supper spread. And God's word for those that came, they received fitness and they were satisfied. Ah, friend, if you took God at his word tonight, just where you sit And as you are, take him at his word and come. Responding to the invitation, he is satisfied with the work of Christ. He's not asking a thing from me. When the Savior cried, "It is finished," that satisfied God. I need nothing more. I come just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Thank God for the Sunday night I came. Just so simple. I wasn't thinking about trying to walk. I wasn't thinking about trying to hop or swim or nothing to get there. I just took him at his word. And God says, "That's coming." And he gave me salvation. And friend, you can't lose it once you get it. Praise his name. That's the marvel of it. You'll be satisfied forever if you came and received the provision that God has found such delight in and satisfaction, the work of Christ at Calvary. There are three times that the invitation went out. You'll notice it's mentioned at supper time. And again, it is mentioned in the evening. And lastly, it's mentioned when all things are ready. Let me note that last one with you. When all things are ready. You see, my friend, God could never invite a person to heaven until everything was satisfied, until everything was regulated. It couldn't be one thing missing. Not one solitary sin could ever go unpunished and God say to you, "Come." Couldn't do that. He wouldn't be righteous. But when all things are ready, he says, "Come." My friend, tonight, that's what the resurrection is a proof to mankind of, that all things are ready. God was satisfied. That grave could not hold the Lord Jesus. He was morally perfect. He did not die because he was like you and me. He died out of choice to break its power on our behalf. That's why he entered into death. And when God raised him out from death, he was telling the whole world, "All things are now ready." All things. Everything that heaven requires. Everything that your sinful soul needs. Everything that your eternity requires has all been supplied. Fitness to stand before God, supplied. Satisfaction for the poor, guilty, needy souls of men, supplied. Peace of conscience for the guilty sinner, all supplied by the death of Christ. And God shows the world an empty tomb to show them all things are now ready. You need not wait, friend. That's the point of that little statement. There's nothing to wait for. Come as you are. Tonight, all things are now ready. The second statement that we read was that it was in the evening. You know, the Lord Jesus never spoke haphazardly. Just off the top of his head, he meant something with every word that he used. And when he was speaking of evening time, he's reminding the people that the invitation was not going to be forever. Darkness is coming. The day of opportunity is drawing to a close. My friend, you and I are very, very wise people. To take a good look around us in our world, we shake our head with the confusion and frustration of all the kinds of crime and terrorism and sadness and fears and sicknesses that bewilder doctors anymore. You know, the Bible tells you that's exactly what's going to happen in last day times. I'll tell you five things the Bible says is going to increase in last day times. One of them, drug addiction. Now, is it increasing? You wonder, could it get any worse? The second one, terrorism. Is it increasing? The third one, religious confusion. Is that increasing? What is the fourth one? A rise of Antichrist spirit. put down every principle that comes from the Bible about marriage, about children, about birth, about morals. Put them down. And what is the fifth one? The fifth one comes right home to every one of us, my dear friend. And the fifth one is to curb the liberties of the Bible. That's found in the book of James. All of those five things are marks of last day times. Closing God's book. My friend in the meeting tonight, it's evening. It's time to be real. The invitation is going out, and it's going out as it were, ebbing out at the last minute. Take a hold of it, will you, friend? Believe God, believe the Lord Jesus tonight. Time is running out. Supper time. Supper time is the occasion to come. It's just the normal time to come when the invitation goes out. All things are now ready. Everything is satisfied. It's the evening hour. The time is running out. It's supper time. It's logical that you should come now. That's what the Savior is saying. And you know, friend, tonight, it's a totally illogical thing for man to refuse God's gospel. It doesn't make sense. And I get it. Every one of us get it. And are doing it, some. My friends, and I appeal to you. Ponder it. It's the words of God from heaven to you tonight. Come now. Can I note with you the three excuses as I close the meeting? Three excuses. Three different areas that the Lord Jesus touches. And mind you, they are so relevant. Real estate, business, and family. Would you come to the gospel meeting tonight? Well, you know, my wife's going shopping and, you know, I think the children have some homework. I don't think I can make it, you know. And, you know, really, I should really go back to the office even though you never intended to. You know, business is pressing and I don't think I should really do that. You know, I do have to trim the bushes after all. I've been so neglectful and I must cut the grass and all the rest of it, friend. Real estate, business, and family. Now I want you to notice, friend, not one of these are a reason. They're all excuses. You know the reason for that, friend? Because there's no reason that you shouldn't come. There isn't a real reason that you should not come. God has known your case. And he's provided for it. He wants you to sit at the table and know your sins forgiven and have eternal life. There is not a reason that you should not come. If I gave you a little card to sign tonight and to write on your excuse for not coming to Christ tonight, what would you write? Now ponder it. What would you write? If you had to write it on a little card, I'm not going to do that. But I'll tell you, friend, God is doing it. He's inscribing your excuse tonight in the book of heaven that will be opened on the judgment morning if the supper call stops tonight. It's time that you looked at the reality of it, friend. There's no reason that you should not come. There are three results. There's a man bound hand and foot, cast away. Tremendous consequences of saying to the provision of a fitting garment to satisfy the king, no, I don't want it. I think what I have is as good as what you have. Tremendous consequences of saying no to God. It's an insult to his love. He gave his beloved son to suffer so deeply at the cross. He gave him to enter into the judgment due to your sin and mine. And my friend, tonight, if you say no to that love, the intensity of his wrath and indignation is altogether merited. And the sinner who refuses Christ deserves the lake of fire. their neck.
Solomon, friend, be wise tonight. God has found satisfaction in Christ. He invites you to come and enjoy Him. Come tonight. Just as you are, take Him at His word. And Christ died for the ungodly. That supplies peace with heaven. It opens the door of heaven to you. It settles the sin question. Come and receive Him tonight and be saved. The last two, let me mention to you. The second one that's mentioned, you will recall, is that He sent out His armies. And you know, my friend, that's exactly what's going to happen to this world. God is going to send out the armies of heaven to destroy those that say no to the gospel. If you wish to read the chapter that describes it, you will find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read it, friend. It's solemn. This world is going to see the armies of heaven. And the first ones that are going to be dealt with, that chapter says, are those that believe not the gospel. Oh, be wise tonight, I say to you, friend. Heed the call of the grace of God. He yearns, He waits, He longs tonight. And He says, come. Will you come, just as you are, where you are, in response to the call of His mercy, and be saved for all eternity? Let us pray. Our God in heaven, forever designing such a great plan of salvation for unworthy persons like us, we praise Thee at the close of this hour. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, His fitness, His willingness, His all-sufficiency in going to the cross, the only possible means by which the mighty question of our sin and shame and defilement could ever be settled. And, O God, the joy of it all is, Thou hast found satisfaction in the work of Christ, and now Thou art coming out to us with an invitation of mercy. Oh, we wonder, are there those, Lord? We know there are those here in this audience tonight to whom Thou hast spoken to their conscience. Thou hast stirred them to realize it is for them. We wonder, will they come as they are just now? Thou wilt receive them and they will be saved. We give Thee thanks and ask Thy blessing in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 63. Hymn 63. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. My, that would be so grand if there was more than one who would be able to say tonight as they leave this building, I came tonight, He is mine. My friend, you come, He'll receive you. He says so, and He never goes back on His word. Wonderful Savior. Do remember the meetings continuing if our Lord has not returned. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 8, Saturday at 7:30 in Main Street, and 3:30 Lord's Day afternoon, and 7:30 in the evening. We will sing the first three verses of this hymn, and the meeting is dismissed.